This Tom. Where'd you get them?
Not at Walmart.
No, where did he sit? He said he got his at the dollar store. I think so. He got a really good deal. I was informed that daylight savings time is next week, so you got to make sure you do the clock thing, or you're going to be here when you don't want to be here. Fall back. Spring ahead, fall back. So somebody told me we're getting less sleep next week, so I tried to break it down. I just said if you go to sleep an hour earlier, then you'll get the same amount, but I don't know. Get more sleep. Oh, yeah, we get more sleep. It goes back. Hey, where's Joel, the other Joel? Yeah, get extra sleep. Oh, that's it. Even better news now. Wow. People were getting depressed because he was telling them that we're going to lose sleep, but we're gaining. Out in the cafe area, there is a little booth table set up that has little blue sheets. We're trying to update the directory for the church, get everybody's name and address, phone numbers, and that type of thing. So if you could make sure that you fill those out. We're looking for pictures too, if you're willing to do that. If you don't want to do that, don't worry about it. But at least fill out the blue thing so we can update our information. I appreciate that. Well, today I saw a little baby came walking into this place. It wasn't walking. The baby wasn't. Mom was bringing him in, 7 days old. So that's pretty exciting to be in the house of the Lord at 7 days old, to let him know that we're not doing what they used to do on the 7 days after today. But it reminds us that what we're talking about today is families. And I watched multiple children come in, all different ages. We have it in here right now. We have all different ages, from young to old. And families are important. And I know growing up, hey, Joel, we get an extra hour of sleep. We don't lose any sleep. So you don't have to worry now. We're doing okay. All right. So families are important. And my wife, Sandra, she remembers everything from her childhood. I think if you were to ask her, she probably remembers being birthed. But she remembers all the little details about growing up. And I remember pretty much nothing. I don't know why that is, if I have suppressed that in my mind or what the psychological things are in that regard. But I remember some things, but she remembers all kinds of stuff. She remembers teachers' names and kids in certain grades and those type of things. She remembers a lot from her family. In our society, it's interesting. Family has different connotations. It has different feels for different people, because some look at it positively, because they had a good family, they had positive family life. Some look at family and they say, I'm not so cool on family. Family is not the greatest, because they had a dysfunctional family. And we're all, no matter what our background is, I think we would say, each one of us, that family is still important. And sometimes there are things that need to be broken from what we grew up with, and new traditions, new relationships with the Lord, and things like that need to take place. But I think that family is important. I think that God thinks family is important. He talks about it in the Bible. His son, Jesus, had a family, a mother and a father, and he had brothers. And he even had a genealogy. So his genealogy is found in Matthew chapter 1. It tells us all the way back to from a certain point all the way up to where he was born. And so sometimes we like to find out what our ethnicity is, what our cultural background is, what our, you know, they have that ancestry.com. People are fascinated with who, where they came from, what they're all about. And so we're not that far off. The genealogies are, the Bible is full of them and talks about where we came from. So for Sandra, she had both her parents. She was raised by both her parents. They were both Christians. She grew up in a Christian home, and she had two sisters. She's the middle child. She says that middle children get the bum rap for things. They do all the work and get no honor and glory for it. Anybody here a middle child? Yeah. Do you feel the same way? No. I had both my parents when I was born, and then when I was 9, then my parents divorced, and I live with my mom, and I have a brother and a sister, and they're both younger than I am. So I'm the oldest. Anybody here the oldest child? Yeah. The power people. Everything gets tested on you, and your siblings get all the freedoms that you never got to see. At least that's what my older children say to me as they have grown up. So I grew up a single-parent home. By ancestry, one side is German, on my mother's side, Holzlander and Fries. Holzlander and Fries. On the other side, on my dad's side, it's British and Scotch, England and Morrison. So I'm kind of a bunch of stuff there. What did they call that? Heinz 57? On Sandra, for Sandra, she was German on both sides of her family, and she has a little Algonquin Indian thrown in there, Native American as well. So we've talked about our family before. So we have how many kids? How many grandkids? 10. 10, 11. Oh, well, we're doing better. We can get another one. Maybe there's one on the way that we didn't know about. And so we've been married for 34 years. Yeah. So families are important. So how do we become a part of a family? Give me ways that we become a part of a family. Okay, we're born into it. What else? Adopted. So we can be born or adopted. Sometimes there's foster care situations, so we can be a part of that. Say again. You're there for that person no matter what. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mergers. I like that term. That's good. Blended families. My mother remarried kind of on the rebound, and she married a man who had 5 children. So there were 8 of us for a year or so, and then they got divorced. And then she didn't marry again until she was in her 60s. So I think she learned her lesson. My father, on the other hand, he married 4 more times. And so I don't know if he ever got the full hang of what that's all about and commitment and things. But so my oldest son, we have 4 children, so 2 of them are adopted. Our oldest 2 are adopted. They're brother and sister. We had them at first as foster kids and then adopted them. And our oldest son, Clint, he says to the youngest ones that he was chosen while they just had to be accepted because they were born. They were birth children. So he was chosen and they were... They just came along. We had no choice about them. So what are some benefits that come with being part of a family?
You may not agree on things.
That's a benefit?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a benefit, but that is a part of family. That's for sure. Huh? Support? Okay. We got one thing. Okay. So that's important. Different perspectives, yes.
I just said like
resources. Resources, okay. So our needs are met. Connections, okay. Unconditional love. What, Joel?
What about boundaries?
Boundaries are important.
Fellowship.
Fellowship. All right. So boundaries are important for kids. We set up boundaries for our children. You know, don't touch that or you're going to get burned. Or don't go outside this part of our yard. Those type of things. We're loved. Our needs are met. We get food. Clothing, shelter, physically cared for. Sometimes we have a taxi service. A mom gets us where we need to go, or a dad. Sometimes you get to experience an inheritance. I haven't experienced that yet. Well, my father has passed away, and there wasn't anything there, so I didn't experience that, but for some people that is a real thing. What are some responsibilities that come with being a part of a family? What do we have to, what's being part of a family, what is that?
Compromise.
Wait 1 second. Pray. Okay, we can pray. Compromise.
Chores.
Okay. Responsibility. So we got you don't have chores, do you? You helped your mom. I saw you help her get all the food ready for today. You did a great job. So, discipline. I'm hearing something, but I can't hear it.
Sharing.
Okay, sorry. I don't know if my ears are not working or what. I did clean them out today, but... Huh? Yeah. Thank you. Okay, so you provide for each other. I think somebody said discipline, obedience, respect, relationships, love, appreciation, communication. What about that one? Is that important in families?
Yes.
Yeah, communication is a biggie in families, in relationships, even between mom and dads. It's a very, very important thing. So our family growing up with our kids, I think we had and have a pretty good family, but it wasn't without dysfunction and it wasn't without trials. So it doesn't matter really who you are or how you, it doesn't matter how you bring your kids up, but even if you bring them up the correct way, sometimes they can choose to follow that, or they can choose to go their own way. There's another family that I think many of us are a part of, and that's the family of God. It's important for our natural families, our adopted families, our blended families, to be a part of this same family. The month of July was kind of a crazy month in our household. My wife's sister passed away with cancer. She was 51. So that was the beginning of the month. And then the end of the month, my wife's mother, my mother-in-law, passed away. And so two deaths in a family. Kind of was tough on all the grandkids and the great grandkids and whatnot. But the thing is that even the littlest grandchildren recognized is the fact that they went to heaven, and that they too have the opportunity to go to heaven and be with them as well. So I think it's important to have that to be a part of the family of God. We have to accept Christ is our Savior, and once we do that, then we have that opportunity that we too will be able to join each other, not only here, but we'll be able to go beyond here and experience a family in each eternity as well. So how do we, I kind of gave you a head start already, but how do we become a part of the family of God? Okay. Okay, baptism is a good thing to do. But accepting him as our Savior, that's the thing.
How about a strong foundation? You've got to have that to keep the family together.
Yeah, that helps. And as the family of God, we have to have a strong foundation. And when we build our foundation on Jesus Christ. And so that we sang that earlier, on Christ the solid rock I stand. So John chapter 3, verse 3, it says, Jesus replied to them, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." So we have to be born. It's just like being a part of a regular family. We have to be born. We have to be born. This time we're being born again, and it's not of the flesh. Nicodemus and Jesus had that whole conversation. How can I go back in my mother's womb and those things? But it's not from that. So we have to be born again spiritually, but we also have to be what? Okay, baptism is important. Well, we can go to heaven without being baptized. That's not going to keep us out.
Adopted.
We have to be adopted by God. So we're born again, and then we're adopted. And in Galatians chapter 4, verse 5 says that Jesus came to redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. So daughtership as well. He's not just talking about males. He's talking about everybody, that we could be adopted. Romans 8:15 says, "The spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship/daughtership. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father." Now, if we were to go around this room and we were to talk about our fathers, I'm sure that there would be some very different ideas of what our dads were like. And we're not going to do that. But some of us may have had dads who were not a good experience. And so it's hard for us to conceive that God is our Father. That kind of warps it. But really what this is saying, when he says Abba Father, he's really saying Daddy Father. He's like saying, come to me. Let me give you a hug. Let me hold you, and we can crawl up in his lap. That type of thing. So God can go beyond our natural upbringing, and he can bring hope, and he can bring life to our lives. Romans 8:23 says, "Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly, as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies." There's going to be a day where that adoption is going to come all the way through, and we're going to go to heaven, and we're going to spend eternity with our Father, with God. So we have to be born, and we have to be adopted. So twofold process there that we go through. So who are we adopted by? God. Yeah, God adopts us. He brings the adoption into our lives. Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. If you jump down to verse 15, it says, "The spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." Again, Abba, Father, he's using as a part of that scripture. Galatians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, he says, "Because you are his sons/daughters, God sent his spirit to his son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has also made you an heir. An heir. What does an heir mean? It means there's an inheritance. Yeah. So maybe your earthly father didn't have the money, and you didn't receive that great inheritance that you see in the newspaper sometimes or you hear about. But God has made us heirs. There's an inheritance. There's an inheritance waiting for us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6 says that he is the one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So we have a God who is Father of all. He's the Father of all of us. And he loves us with an everlasting love. He loves us so very much. It's beyond what we can imagine. It's pretty amazing. So if we're adopted by God, then we are his children. We are his children. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. Dearly loved children. He's talking about who we are. We are his dearly loved children. Dearly loved children. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15 says, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault, in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. Children of God, without fault, in a warped and crooked generation. Do we have a warped and crooked generation today? I think so. So it wasn't just in the time of Paul, but we too have a warped and crooked generation. But we're to be children of God and to live like he desires. And if we do, it says we're going to shine among them like stars in the sky. Do you know that when you have that relationship with Christ, sometimes people know there's something different about you. They may not understand what it is, but they realize, hey, they're different. There's something about them that makes them unique, and that gives us an opportunity to shine among them like stars in the sky. 1 Peter 1:14 says, as obedient children. We talked about the need in our families to have obedient children. God's talking about the same thing. He desires that we would be his obedient children. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. It goes on to talk about the freedom that we have in Christ and what we sang about earlier. Obedient children. Your kids obey every time you tell them what to do? Ha, 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 ha. Yes? Yeah. So, the same thing for God. Not all his children, we're not obedient all the time, are we? We do blow it, and we sin, and then we can come back to him and climb up to his lap and ask for forgiveness. Galatians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says, because you are his sons/daughters. Oh, I already read that, didn't I? Yes. I did. No, that was my fault. I'm not seeing what you have up there. I'm looking at my own papers. I looked at the wrong side. So, obedient children. 1 Thessalonians 5:5 says, you are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. Children of the light, children of the day. That's a positive thing. I heard somebody talking about how great Dark Shadows is, and I shouted over the wall, and I said, Dark Shadows is not great. It's all about vampires and stuff like that. The darkness and the night, what does that refer to normally in the Bible? Things of what? God or things of Satan? Yeah. So that's not who we want to be. We don't want to be children of the darkness or children of the night. We want to be children of the light. Galatians 3:26 says, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. Through faith. So that born again, and that adoption by Christ through his sacrifice, we can become children of God. John 1:12-13 says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Again, takes the responsibility on our part. We have to do something. We have to accept Christ as our Savior. It's not just because we do good things that we're a part of his family. It's because he sent his son to die for us, and we accept that gift and receive that, and then we have that right to become children of God. Goes on in verse 13 to say, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Born of God. So, if we are adopted by God and we are his children, we have a pretty big family. We have a pretty big family. So, growing up in here, in your family, how many of you had four children in your family? Okay, what do we got? Raise your hands. All right, take them down. How many of you had five children in your family? Wow. How many of you had six children in your family? Did you have 10? Yep. 10 children? Anybody have more than 10? Really? How many children? 13. Oh, dear. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. You are the winner. 13, that's a lot of children. Blessed be your mother. The fruit. Yeah, her womb was very fruitful. That's a lot of children. So, that was a big family, 13 kids. Could you imagine what that would be like? That would be kind of crazy. We had four kids, and just four kids maintaining that relationship with everybody. 13 would be even crazier. In the Bible, we see different relationships. We see natural brothers. We see like Peter and Andrew, James and John. In the New Testament, they were brothers. When they talk about relationships in the Bible, sometimes they talk about a race, the same race. We are the people of Israel. We are the people of God. Sometimes they talk about fellow Christians, and they refer to one another as brothers and sisters. And so, if we were to look around this room, we have quite a variety of ages. And so we have varied relationships in here. Some of us can be fathers, some of us can be sons, daughters, and so on and so forth. Let's look at a couple words. Phileo. Anybody know what that word means? Brotherly love. You've heard of the city Philadelphia. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Phileo is brotherly love. So that's the love that we have towards one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. There's another word. It's called Adelphus. It's also used to describe brother. It's used 230 times, but it refers to the Christian family. It refers to the body of Christ. 230 times. It literally means from the same womb. From the same womb. So that means it's just like a natural family. We're coming from the same mother. As the body of Christ, we're having that same experience. We're all mothers, brothers of a different mother, if we're a guy, or however you want to say that saying goes. We have that relationship. We should have that relationship with one another. Matthew 12:50 says, "Whoever does the will of my Father," Jesus is saying this, "in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 says, "Do not rebuke an older gentleman harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity." So that's pretty plain. You know, we're supposed to treat those who are older as fathers and mothers, treat those younger as brother, as sisters and brothers, and in the same, you know, in our relationships across the board. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 says, "Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God and honor the emperor." So this is Peter talking to the Christians that he was writing to. "Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers." Love the family of believers. So I think I said it a week or so ago that sometimes our family, as the family of God, we have relationships in which we are closer than we are with our regular family. And because we have lived in multiple different places and not been around family, it's important to have relationships with the body of Christ, with the family of God. We have, our kids have grandparents in churches across the U.S. in the places that we have served. And, you know, they were treated just like people's regular grandkids and loved on and treated as children. Even now, as our adult children, there are people who are continuing to invest in their lives. So love the family of believers. I think that's a great command coming from Peter. So if we're a part of God's family and we're his children and we have this big family, what are some benefits that come from being part of the family of God? We talked about benefits that come from being a part of the family, but what about being part of the family of God? I couldn't hear. Eternal life. That's a pretty good one. Eternal life. That's our inheritance that we're looking for. Joy. Forgiveness. That's a good one. The Holy Spirit moving in our lives. Come now. Purpose. Okay, we know what he gives us a clearer picture of who we are and what he wants us to do. Purpose in life. We already talked about benefits. Love for one another. That's a benefit. The support, we talked about that. Let's take a look at Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. This is David writing, and he says, "Praise the Lord," or in the King James, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits." So, give me some benefits that you see up there. We already had one Joel said. He said forgiveness. He forgives all our sins. What else?
Healing.
Heals all our diseases. Redeems our life from the pit. Okay. Love and compassion. He crowns us. He gives us love and compassion. Satisfies our desires with good things. And for those of us who have white hair, it says that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So those are some good benefits. Luke chapter 12, verses 32 through 33 talks about our inheritance. our inheritance. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth, born again, into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you." So we have an inheritance. We have eternal life. And one of these days we're going to have the opportunity to inherit that inheritance and enter into his kingdom. So as members of God's family, what are some of our responsibilities? As children of God, what are some responsibilities that we would have? Okay, to help our brothers and our sisters on the right path. Okay, open communication with our Father and with each other. But with our Father, it's very important. And we talked about it, I think, last week, that it's not just one-way communication. We're not just the one talking to God, but that we're listening to what he's saying to us as well. What else? Encouragement. Encourage. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, it's not up there, but it talks about that the fact that we're to build one another up. I think we do have some obedience we talked about, respect for one another, the relationship that we build with one another. Now, not everybody's going to be everybody's best friend, BFF. That's not going to happen because we're just everybody's unique. But within this group, there are people who you could develop relationships with and grow in your relationship with the Lord and help each other along the way. Service to one another. We talked about that last week, helping one another out. Communication, we mentioned that. Building one another up, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. We're to love one another. To love one another. Those are our responsibilities. And again, sometimes it takes God's love flowing through us to love one another, because sometimes that's what it takes. So, God provides for our adoption. He paid the price by sending his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins, so we can be born again. And we are adopted. Because of this adoption, we are his children. I forgot I put that little twirly thing in there. We're a part of a great family. Whether your family was great, whether you feel like your family was great growing up or not, the family that we have is a part of the family of God. You know, it's not just Evergreen. It's every Bible-believing church in our community and around the world. That's a pretty big body. That's a pretty big family. And we have a great family. Are we dysfunctional sometimes? Sure. Are we, as the family of God, do we have some failures and trials? Yes. So it's not a lot different than a natural family. Those things are still there, but we have the opportunity as the body of Christ, as the family of God, to come together and build each other up. So we're part of a great family. And yes, we do have responsibilities as a part of the family of God, but nothing compares to the benefits that we receive. There isn't anything. Nothing compares to the fact that we have a God who loves us unconditionally and has made a way for us to spend eternity with him forever. So, Some of us in here have been a part of the family of God for a long time. Some of us may be brand new to the family of God. Again, some of us maybe haven't taken that step and become a part of the family of God. But God desires that we would all become a part of that great family. And what I would like to do as we're closing, as the worship team comes, is that I would like for us as the family of God to gather in groups of four or five people and just pray for your group. So if you can ask them, the big question to ask is, have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? Are you a part of the family? Are you part of our family? You can ask them if they have any needs in their lives. If they have that relationship with our Father. And so what I wanted us to do, maybe it would be better if you don't even play, but maybe we could just have music so that you could pray too. Yes, we have the technology to do so. And so let's do this. Let's stand up. And let's take a moment to find those groups, even if you have to go across the room, and let's find some people to pray with and ask them what their needs are. And